This is Scotty Reed with a Black Talk Radio News Report, and on the line we have Mr. Carl Dix, a co-initiator with Cornel West of RefuseFascism.org and the Stop Mass Incarceration Network. He will be speaking to us today about the Trump-Pence regime and specifically about Jeff Sessions, who has been nominated by Donald Trump to become the next U.S. Attorney General. And Mr. Dix, why should Sessions not be confirmed?
He should not be confirmed because he is an unreconstructed racist, a demonizer of immigrants, along the same lines as Donald Trump, the president, not my president, but the president of this country. And on just a whole host of things, he is not qualified for that position. The man was asked, was it a crime for a man to grab a woman by her private parts? And he said, I don't know. That was his answer after being asked about the boastful actions of Donald Trump grabbing women by the you-know-what. This is a man who should have nothing to do with exercising any control over the law, let alone the head of the Justice Department. So he should not be the new Attorney General. That's just it.
Now, I understand that you took place in a demonstration at the confirmation hearing. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, basically, I was at the hearing inside in the visitor's part, listening to these senators, senator after senator, talking about what a nice man Jeff Sessions is, and Republican senator after Republican senator talking about the man don't have a racist bone in his body, and he got a raw deal 30 years ago when the Senate refused to appoint him as a judge because of his racist views. Now, Sessions does not even claim to have changed his views since then. So what's being said right now is that naked white supremacy, somebody being right out in the open about being nostalgic for the old South. This is a man who, when asked about the Ku Klux Klan, said that he knew people in the Klan and that he used to think they were fine people until he found out some of them smoked pot. In other words, their legacy of lynching black people and all the rest was not a problem for him. And see, we got to go to the fact that it was not a problem for Donald Trump, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But after listening to this, I felt that there was a need for some expert testimony that brought some truth into that room. So I stood up and said that Jeff Sessions is a racist and a fascist, and that he concentrates what the Trump-Pence regime was all about. And that's about as far as I got before several Capitol police officers jumped over some chairs, grabbed me, and was dragging me out. So I figured on the way out, about the only thing I could do was concentrate my message. So I, no Trump, no KKK, no fascist USA, as they dragged me out. And six other people working with Refuse Fascism were also in the hearing that day, and all six of them got dragged out by the Capitol Police one by one for adding to the expert testimony that I was giving and bringing some truth into that Senate confirmation hearing.
I want to touch upon something you brought up. I sent an email to the senator over North Carolina, that's over the district that I live in. His name is Senator Tom Tillis. I had written him expressing concern about the drug war and that some of the, let's say, reforms or in terms of cannabis legalization with these states passing all these laws where you have legalized cannabis, even there in D.C., by the way, which there was a cannabis protest that was held on Inauguration Day. But I wrote him concerning Jeff Sessions' archaic drug war support. And because Tom Tillis has expressed that he would like to see reform in that area. But his reply to me was that he knows Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions is his friend. And I'm quoting him. And I thought to myself, how appropriate is it for those who say this man is their personal friend to sit in on a confirmation hearing? Because to me, that means you can't be objective and you can't be impartial in that perhaps. And I don't know if it's even possible for senators to recuse themselves from these hearings if they have personal relationships, expressing personal emotional feelings about Jeff Sessions and not just looking at, you know, his policies, what he stands for.
Yeah, well, see, the problem that we have is that not only are a whole bunch of these senators personal friends of Jeff Sessions, a whole bunch of them embrace the same policies. I mean, let's be clear, the Republican Party has the majority in the Senate. I think they've got like 52 votes in the Senate out of 100. And when you talk about some of the sharpest attacks on black people, on immigrants, on women, and other groups in this society, these are policies that the Republicans generally embrace. I mean, you look at the question of voter suppression. State after state where the Republicans dominate the legislature have passed laws specifically aimed at making it harder for black people to vote, for Latinos to vote, and even for young people, students to vote. They have said things like, you need an ID to vote, and a student ID is unacceptable. They require people to have driver's licenses or to vote in states where they know that black people are less likely to have a driver's license. And then on the other side, they say that a card, an NRA membership card, is an acceptable identification. It clearly doesn't go to whether you got proof of your citizenship. A school ID would take you much closer to that, but they know that students tend not to vote Republican and NRA members do. So it's real clear that you're talking about folk who embrace the kind of policies that Sessions represents. You know, so we can look at this question of whether people's personal friendships disqualify them, but just on policy considerations and where people stand, they should be disqualified. And this whole Donald Trump, Mike Pence regime is not legitimate. It is not qualified to make decisions about humanity. And in saying that, look, I know that they won the Electoral College and Donald Trump is now the president. And that was something that we in Refuse Fascism had worked to stop. That's what, in fact, why we came together, because we saw that this was a fascist regime. We saw that that's what we were going to get. And the very first few days, even less than a week so far of this regime, have shown what we were talking about. You know, pipelines that are going to destroy the environment, poison the water of native people, and actually run through the land that native people have the rights to by treaty. But these native people are not allowed to exercise those rights. We saw that. We saw bans being produced on health providers informing women about the option of choosing to have an abortion if they get funds from the U.S. government. We've just seen executive order after executive order that is fleshing out fascist agenda that Donald Trump campaigned on and promised to bring down. Just yesterday, it was the border wall. This regime is no good for humanity. In fact, it's a horror for humanity. It's both going to intensify the attacks, but it is also going to suffocate the room to resist those attacks. You see that prefigured in the attacks on the media with this talk about millions of illegal votes and media being threatened if they question the basis for Trump coming up with that. Also, this thing, just down on a basic thing about how many people came out to the inauguration, you have the Trump regime lying about that, demonstrably lying about it. You can look at the pictures. You can look at subway ridership. There's just a lot of ways to identify that they're lying. And media gets threatened if they call that out. And see, the second shoe is dropping on this fake story about 3 million illegal voters in the election, because it's not just Donald Trump narcissism that has him saying that. He's now following that up with a call for an investigation and a tightening of the ability to vote. And see, people who are looking at this regime and saying, I oppose it and I'm going to get ready for the next election, have to really think about, because they are planning on the elections are actually already rigged. They're set up in such a way that the will of the people can be stymied, like it was this time with Donald Trump losing the election by almost 3 million votes, but winning the election. But they are aiming to go farther with this, including through the voter suppression, which is already in motion. You know, states like Florida did a thing of going through the voter rolls, finding one black person named Jones who should be taken off the voter rolls, but then striking all of the Joneses with the same first name. And then if you're a legitimate voter, which most of those Joneses were, you have to come and re-register to get back on the voter rolls. This is the kind of thing that has been going on for quite some time. The Voting Rights Act used to be a block to that, but now the Voting Rights Act has had its teeth pulled. It's now toothless, and they are taking advantage of that. We have to look at that. This regime is illegitimate, and we can't look to the top to expect that to be taken care of. We can't look to the checks and balances in the system. We can't wait for the next election, because by the time of the next election, things may be so rigged that it won't be possible to win it, no matter what the sentiment of the people is. So that's why we in Refuse Fascism do not apologize for having tried to stop this regime from being inaugurated and trying to stop it from consolidating its hold on power by calling on the millions and millions of people who hate what this regime represents to flood the streets to stand against it. Now, we didn't succeed in that. It has become the regime is stabilizing itself. It still doesn't have all of its operatives in place, but I guess I don't have a lot of faith in the Democratic Party leading a fight to try to stop this. Sessions should not become the Attorney General. I don't have a lot of faith in the Democratic Party leading a fight to stop him, however.
Well, that was going to be one of my questions, was about what type of opposition is the Democratic Party mounting, especially concerning a person like Jeff Sessions. I'm not hearing any talk about any filibustering if this man is so terrible in the Democratic Party's eyes, if he represents a rollback of certain civil liberties. I mean, where is the filibusters? Other issues that you brought up, and I'm concerned, and this is a concern of mine and a concern of our organization, Black Talk Media Project, is that while people are rightly focusing on the Trump, Pence regime and the Republican Party and some of the things that are coming down the pipe, for example, you brought up his attack on the media. But this is the same media, especially CNN is who he specifically is having issues with. This is the same news organization that the CEO admitted to giving Donald Trump wall-to-wall coverage during the primaries for the sake of ratings, which, of course, we know translates into advertisement dollars. With the Obama administration, let me back up a moment, talking about a rigged election. When the emails, whether they were leaked, whether they were hacked, nobody's disputing the authenticity of the emails to show the Democratic Party rigged their primary to benefit Hillary Clinton. So when I hear Democrats or people who lean Democrat talk about Russia hacked the elections, which is nonsense, but what about the rigging of the Democratic primary? So it's almost like by default, they're saying that Hillary Clinton would be a better president, or they're not acknowledging the unethical primary that the Democratic Party ran. Now, they blame that on quote unquote fake news. And the Washington Post came out with a article that was unverified. Nobody knew who put together this list of news, alternative news organizations, and saying that they assisted Donald Trump. And basically, and one of those was the Black Agenda Report, which is run by people I respect highly, Glenn Ford, Bruce Dixon, Margaret Kimberly. And they report news not as Democrats, not as Republicans, but as Black people objectively reporting on what's going on here in the United States and globally. So then with President Obama on Christmas Day, while everybody is opening up presents, or I think it was the day before or the day after, signs the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, which has legislation in it, which basically says that they can declare a journalist or a news outlet as engaging in propaganda that is aiding, quote unquote, the enemy. And so what can happen to those people? And so now I've just read an article the other day about Facebook now going to work towards censoring news. Now, we are an independent news outlet, and I feel like this is affecting us. This is affecting us, that they will be looking to censor our content that we put out to the people simply because we are not part of the establishment. And the final thing here is that I find it quite confusing that black people are defending corporate media in this country when corporate media has always played a role in the oppression of non-white people in this country. I mentioned the Washington Post. I don't think CNN was around at the time. But the CIA was running Operation Mockingbird, which utilized journalists and corporate media to propagandize the American people. We also saw these same news corporations who were complicit in pushing propaganda out, demonizing the Black Panther Party of the 60s, demonizing the civil rights organizations, demonizing anybody who was in opposition to racism, white supremacy. So those are my concerns, Mr. Dix, is that many people, I'm not saying you are yourself, sir, is that we're focused on, rightly focused on Donald Trump, but it seems like a lot of people by default are saying Hillary Clinton was not a racist, even though she supported racist policies. She called non-white children super predators. And so I'm just confused. Well, I'm not confused, but I'm concerned, that our people are not being objective in viewing both the Democrats and the Republicans as enemies of freedom, liberty, and justice.
Okay, you put a whole lot on the table there.
I know,
sir. Let me go at it like this. The Democrats and the Republicans are political arms of the same system, the capitalist imperialist system. And their main goal, both of them, is how to keep this system in effect. And they generally group up around different approaches to that. And there wasn't a fight over what's the best way to keep the system in effect. And a very extreme program for keeping the system in effect, that of Donald Trump, won out in the Republican primary and won out in the election overall. Not that it got the most votes, but it won out through the Electoral College. And as you pointed out, it got free media from media that's all across the political spectrum, that being capitalist media like CNN and all the rest of them. And that's also why we can't rely on them to lead any kind of fight against the Trump-Pence regime and its fascism, because while a lot of the Democrats maybe are uncomfortable with aspects of the Trump-Pence fascist regime, they are comfortable they're comfortable with the stabilization of capitalism imperialism, and they don't want the chaos that trying to do anything about it might bring into being. So that means that they can't be expected to throw down to fight Sessions. They can't be expected to stand up to Trump's attacks on civil liberties. And in fact, in many cases, like you said, they facilitated those, because NDAA was signed by Obama. You know, that was something that came from the National Defense Authorization Act. NDAA was signed by Obama, and it actually created and further buttressed the machinery through which fascism can be implemented and, frankly, will most likely be implemented through by Trump. So we need to see that. And you're right on the Democrats. They had decided from the beginning of their primary campaign that Hillary was going to be the candidate this time. She got caught, they got caught off guard in 2008 because a section of the capitalist imperialists felt that given the depth of the crisis that the U.S. faced, they needed a new face and a new approach. And that's how Obama got through. He was actually backed very heavily by capitalists in Silicon Valley, and they were able to beat out Clinton. But this time, no opposition was going to be allowed, including when she ran into some trouble with the Sanders campaign. It did get rigged to benefit her in terms of the timing of the debates, how many debates, was to allow no serious opposition to develop, and even with that serious opposition develop. So we need to fight these fascists, not from the perspective of we need to go back to the status quo before the fascist regime. And as a revolutionary, I'm real clear on that. I actually have dedicated my life to making revolution and ending all the horrors of this capitalist imperialist system. And that revolutionary dedication is what leads me to see the importance of taking on and trying to mobilize people to take out this fascist regime through millions of people flooding into the street, because I see what it would mean for humanity, as well as I see what it would mean for our chances to make revolution, because it will be far, far harder in the face of a fascist regime, one that is taking away civil liberties and in other ways going at it like that. So when I call out what they're doing for the press, it's not because I have any love for CNN. I just know that if that's how they're going to act in relation to capitalist media, think of how they're going to act in relation to those of us who are being oppressed and exploited by this system and our ability to stand up and resist that oppression. They're going to move to wipe that out. That's why Donald Trump has talked about taking the citizenship away from people that burn the American flag, in addition to throwing them in jail, even though right now the state of constitutional law is that that is protected political speech. That's something that his regime is going to work on rolling back, just as they're going to roll back any attempts at reform that even try to smooth the edges off of mass incarceration and at least talk about opposition to police terror, even though not very much was done during Obama years from the top in relation to that. The talk about it's going to disappear. The small steps to reduce mass incarceration, I think from 2.4 million to 2.2 million, well, that stuff is going to be reversed. So we should look at the reality of what this is going to mean. I've called the situation that black people faced up to now a slow genocide that could easily become a fast one. And looking at the Trump-Pence regime and the agenda that it's put forward and promised, that genocide is going to be sped up unless we act to stop it.
Speaking to that, Mr. Dix, I was listening to a Black News broadcast yesterday, and it was mentioned that the Trump administration has already stopped the Department of Justice investigations into police departments over brutality, excessive force, you know, all the issues that we have really been focusing on these past few years, or refocusing on, I should say. And so what kind of message do you think that's going to send to these police officers, aka slave catchers in the modern system of slavery? Do you think that that's signaling to them that, hey, you can get away with murdering citizens, you can get away with any of the dirty dealings that you do, because we're not going to investigate you? So can you talk about that, given your work, you know, with the mass incarceration network in the past and focusing on police brutality.
Yeah, you've exactly come right down to the point. They have taken concrete steps to stop future investigations of police departments. They stopped the implementation of an already existing report in Baltimore. They've at least delayed it. And this is a report that already came down that documented widespread police abuse, including police assaults and police killing people unjustly. And they put up on the website a salute to law enforcement and talked about a determination to take the gloves off. And the truth is the gloves were already off. So they are consciously backing up the worst kind of police terror. And it's going to mean that these police are going to feel emboldened. They're going to feel like they have more open backing from the federal level. And we will see that down on the streets in relation to how the police function. We will see that in the courts and in the prisons. And this is part of what I'm referring to when I talk about a slow genocide becoming faster. You know, because, and when I say genocide, let me just be real clear, because I'm not using this to hype things up. The definition of genocide is putting a group of people in whole or in part in conditions where they cannot survive and thrive as people. And when we look at the way in which large sections of black people are caught up in going in and out of prison, when we look at the way that police get away with racially profiling that disproportionately targets black people, when we look at just every measure in society, we have to conclude that black people's ability to thrive, to survive and thrive as people, is being blocked by this system and its very operations consciously. And that is why I call it a genocide. And we have to look at today in the context of overall fascist agenda, one that targets not only black people, but immigrants, Muslims, women, lesbian and gay people. All of this is going to be stepped up, and the ability to resist it is going to be closed in on. That is why it's very important to take on this whole fascist agenda and to act to stop this fascist regime. And I got to put out two websites for people to go to. One is refusefascism.org to find both coverage, but also to get involved in that acting to stop this regime. And the other, that's refusefascism.org. This was put together by a grouping that you mentioned at the beginning that Cornel West and myself were involved in co-founding, along with Chase Iron Eyes from the Sue Up and Standing Rock, along with scientists like P.Z. Myers and Niles Eldridge, women's rights activists like Fran Luck, immigrants' rights activists like Isabel Cardenas, and many more folks. And then people also need to go to the website revcom.us, where they will find the voice of the Revolutionary Communist Party, which I'm a representative of, and why the world is the way it is, but also how to get out of it through revolution and the leadership we have for that revolution, and Bob Avakian, the leader of the Revolutionary Communist Party.
Well, Mr. Dix, I want to thank you for speaking with us today. But one final question, what should we be doing? I understand what you're doing through fascism, stopfascism.org, but in terms of the grassroots, what should we be doing? Do you think that the Trump regime will have the effect of waking more people up to the state of things today? Because I think there's a lot of people who are fast asleep, or they don't live in areas where they are experiencing the police terror or any of the ill effects of capitalism. And so they may not, you know, care about these issues. But I do think that the possibility, like you said, the genocide speeding up. So what should we be doing? Should we be looking to organize more on a local level, on a state level? Please give us some suggestions on what the people should be doing, especially our community.
Okay. Two things I'll say on that. First is that the Trump-Pence regime and its carrying out of this agenda, and the fact that it campaigned on, promised this agenda, really shook society. And that can have the effect of waking people up. But it can also have the effect, as they begin to carry it out, of chilling people into silence. Like if they see people who stand up getting vamped on, and they are vamping on people. I mean, like I was arrested for my expert testimony at the Sessions hearing, and I have an open case in Washington, D.C. around that. My next court date is February 17th. They charge me with disrupting Congress, and it carries a six-month jail sentence if I end up convicted. So, and I look for them to try to make examples out of people who stand up in order to get other people who maybe got woke up by some stuff to go back to sleep and adapt and accept the stuff that they're bringing down. So that's one thing. This can wake people up, but it can also chill people back into inactivity. The other thing is, in terms of what we need to be doing, we need to be taking on these attacks. We needed to be doing it already because the attacks were already going down, but they're going to be intensified now. And the resistance to them has to also be stepped up. We should do it on a local level, but we should also be looking to connect things in nationally and to join with struggles. Like I went up to Standing Rock when that battle was going down. I was up there in December when the federal government backed off and said they were going to look for another route. The problem with that, though, was that Obama essentially kicked the can down the road, knowing that Donald Trump would pick it up. So now Donald Trump has put the Dakota Access Pipeline that is running right through Sioux Land up at Standing Rock back on track. And this is a struggle. We can't just leave it to, well, that's the native people up at Standing Rock. That's their issue. Let them fight that. Because the environment is everybody's issue, because if they wreck the environment of the planet, we ain't going to have one that, well, our children and grandchildren could end up having no planet to live on. And also it's through that kind of bringing the struggles together that we can bring forward what's needed to take this regime out and lay the basis for moving beyond that to make revolution. That's why I was saying to people, go to refusefascism.org and get involved, because we are involved in that kind of linkage, bringing those struggles together and pointing them at the fascist regime that is now intensifying those attacks.
You know, Mr. Dix, I certainly agree that we do need to work with other groups on specific issues. For example, I'm part of the New Abolitionist movement that does not view this as mass incarceration, but views it as a continuation of slavery in another form through the prisons as prescribed by the 13th Amendment. And with what Donald Trump has said about the immigrant community, and targeting them, we saw the private prisons stock rebound and a lot of money being pumped into the private prisons. So you would seem that we would have a natural ally in the immigrant community against private prisons in this country and against the continuation of slavery. So I agree with you, sir. And I'm glad you brought up Standing Rock. Now, I have to address this. I respect you, sir. Your work speaks for itself. You're out there in the streets. You're out there on the battlefield. You're not just behind a microphone or behind a camera on YouTube. But I'm not going to call this person's name out, but they know who they are. And we've talked about it in the past on this network. But there is a prominent black person who is a news commentator. Sometimes you'll see him on CNN. I haven't seen him on there recently, but I follow this person on YouTube, and they made a video saying that black people should not be uniting with Native Americans on any kind of struggle, and told black people that Native Americans enslaved more black people than white people, which is absolute historical false. You want to talk about fake news? But I mean, what do you think about that? Those in the black community who put out such information, and I'm saying, and I said to this person, do you not realize how many people, including black people, use that river as a drinking source? This is a drinking source for several different states, millions of people, and I'm sure black people need clean water as well as anybody else. So what do you say to that type of mentality within our community of this isolationism, but then demonizing other victims of white supremacy? I don't know what the person is trying to do. Your thoughts?
Well, that's the talk and the thinking of a slave who loves the slave master and slavery and wants to keep people in effect in those chains. Because I'm glad you pointed out that that was a historical falsehood. It wasn't the case. There were times where chattel slavery and enslavement of black people was taken up, but there were other tribes where people who escaped from slavery were taken into the tribes and welcomed and made a part of those tribes. And those were the people who got targeted the most, you know, like the Seminole Wars. The Seminole were Native people in Florida, and they took in people who escaped from slavery. Part of why decades of warfare were waged against them. You know, other tribal groupings were targeted for the same reason. So that's the actual reality. And the point is, the struggle of the Native people, both the fact that it is around an environment like, and key things like water rights that go beyond them, because you're right, that river that will be poisoned if this DAPL, the Dakota Access Pipeline, goes through, it don't just run to the reservation, it keeps running. And if it's poisoned at the reservation, the poison's going to keep going. But also, where injustice is allowed to exist, I think Gil Scott-Heron did a song that if you allow injustice to surround your home, it's going to be in the living room in a minute. And that is exactly what has come down in the past and how people have dealt with fascist regimes. Like in Germany, Hitler had an overall program which he carried out step by step. He didn't hit everybody at once. He got a main target. He hit that main target, and he lulled other people to thinking that they were safe. He went for the communists first. And he lulled people who weren't communists, figuring like, well, that's them. Let them get hit. Then he went for the people in the trade unions. But he lulled people who weren't in trade unions to sleep, and they let that go down. Then he went for Jewish people. And he lulled Christians to sleep, thinking that they were safe. And then by the time he came at them, there was nobody left. We can't take the same approach here. You know, because history rightly condemns the German people for being good Germans while Adolf Hitler carried out crimes against humanity. Well, we got an American Hitler, and we cannot be good Americans to Donald Trump's American Hitler. We have to say right up front, okay, maybe you're not attacking me yet, but I was paying attention to your election campaign. In fact, I'm paying attention to your whole history. I know that when the Central Park five black and Latino youth were arrested on a charge of having raped a white woman and sent to prison, you took out a full-page ad. Donald Trump took out a full-page ad calling for bringing the death penalty back to New York so that these black and brown youth could be executed for this crime, which they did not commit. And it took years for the system to come to have that truth forced on it and forced out through it. And Donald Trump, even as recently as last year, said that, well, the Central Park Five should have been in jail anyway because they probably did something wrong.
Wow.
That's not the way it's supposed to work. You get arrested for something you did not do and framed up and sent to jail. You can't justify that, although the system often does justify it by saying, well, you did something wrong anyway, so the fact that we manufactured the evidence on you this time don't count. But that is how it's supposed to work, and if you allow it to work that way, that is part of what lets the demonization of especially black and brown youth go through under this system. Mm-hmm. So very important that we look to what is really going on and understand it in a real way and not get caught up with somebody who is rewriting history, which is what this system does. We can even see it down to the thing of history textbooks right now that are being used in school, and they are rewriting this whole thing of the happy slave.
Alternative facts is what I think they're calling it, Mr. Dick.
Yeah, they call it alternative facts, but they lies. That's what alternative facts are. They are lies. And in this case, they're lies that serve the system. And where people take up, repeat, and spread those lies, whoever they are, they're serving the system that's oppressing and exploiting people here in this country and around the world. And we have to call that out and wake people up to it and mobilize people to act on the basis of the reality, to not only break through the lies, but end the exploitation and oppression that those lies are aimed at keeping in effect.
Well, Mr. Dix, I want to thank you for speaking with us today. Before you leave us, could you please give us those web addresses you gave earlier? There were two, I think, if you could leave us with those.
Yeah, thank you. Refusefascism.org. That's refusefascism.org. And that's the website of the group that came together in December to take on and stop the fascist Trump-Pence regime. That's one website. And then the other website is revcom.us. That's revcom.us. And it's the website where you can find the voice of the Revolutionary Communist Party that I'm a representative of. And you can find the works of the leader of that party, Bob Avakian. And it gets into why the world is the way it is, how it got that way, and how we can end that through revolution. And it has the plan and strategy for making revolution in a country like this, and a blueprint for the kind of society that could be brought into being, that is a constitution for a future socialist republic in North America, because we want people to know what we're aiming to do. And thank you for having me on.
You're welcome, Mr. Dix, and we will continue to pray for your continued safety behind these enemy lines of USA Inc. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.